Welcome everyone to another episode of the Definitive Crusade. I'm joining the Machine Hughes, standing in once again for the 13th Crusader, who is still absorbed in the Source War. I don't know what's going on out there, but it seems like every other book mentions it, so you've got to go where the fun is, I guess. Along for the ride, we have, from all the way from the lovely island, we have Tracy. Tracy, how are you doing?
I'm good, Machine. Good to be here with you again.
Just like old times.
It is. We're getting the band back together.
I'm not singing. Not today. Also joining us from across the pond, we have Freya. Freya, how's it going?
Great. I'm happy to be working with you guys again.
Well, hey, booyah. Old school. And keeping it new school, we have Heather. Heather, how are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome. Heather,
No, that was not singing.
Well, we'll get a song out of you yet. Okay. So, at the time of recording, we have some sad news. It came to light over the weekend that legendary comic book creator Steve Ditko sadly passed away at the age of 90. Even sadder, he'd been passed away 10 days before he'd been found by a colleague or a friend. It kind of makes you wonder that if you've got people in your life that are getting on a bit and you don't see them as part of their regular schedule, go check them out. They might need your help. Ditko was responsible, regardless of if you're pro Stan Lee or pro Jack Kirby and the art guys, he was responsible for the co-creation of Spider-Man as well as Doc Strange for Marvel books. But of course, a talent like Ditko did cross the aisle and for DC create The Shade and, of course, The Creeper. Perhaps his biggest involvement with DC came from the Charlton comics. Charlton? What's it all called? Characters with Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, and, of course, The Question, whom without we wouldn't have had Rorschach for The Watchmen. All right, so, guys, I think a round of applause for everything that Steve Ditko did. Thank you very much. Yay! Now we begin our regular show. So after a week of weddings and aftermath, everybody likes to get their fill of the wedding cake, no matter what happened at the wedding, right? So this week we have a feast of specials coming out. We'll start off straight away, I think, with the next big one from Michael Bendis. We have Superman 1. Who would like to start us off on this? Definitely quiet falls across the line.
I guess, because, you know.
Okay, go for it.
All right. So, for Superman, first off, I love the artwork. It's my favorite, actually. Out of the books that we've read this week, I just love it. I love the color contrast and just the shadowing and everything about it. So, positive note, I absolutely loved the art. Also, Martian Manhunter, I love him so much, and I'm so happy we're finally seeing him around. Mm. And yeah, he's like one of my top five Justice League, or top three Justice League members. I love him so much. I guess having a conversation with Superman really must suck, and I don't know ever how he was able to have children or anything, because he's always like, oh wait, hold that thought, you know, disappeared. I would not be friends with you. I, after the second time you did that to me, like, screw you, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm not talking to you. Like,
yeah.
You're going to be a dick. Okay, I don't care.
It's like, you snooze, so, you lose.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, come on, Superman. You can stop a little bit. Let the other, like, 100 whatever superheroes deal with something, okay? Not the only one on the planet. And, yeah, I mean, overall, I like the story. Still don't like Superman's personality, but that's just personal preference. I don't like the goody-goody characters for the most part. And can I just say, I have no idea what the hell happened at the end. It's a great cliffhanger. But
yeah, I know what you mean.
Because it's like,
it was definitely a what the F moment.
Like, I actually reread it because I thought I had missed something.
Me too. I did that too.
And I was looking in the background for like maybe like they hit something. And no, it just we're in the Phantom Zone. Surprise. Like,
ta-da! We couldn't think of anything unique or unusual, so this is what we're doing.
Throwing us all in the Phantom Zone. Okay. So, I don't know. Just, it left me with the what the fuck.
It must have been a big one. You've hardly ever dropped F-bombs. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm thirsty.
Oh, my God. Okay, cool. So, the art is by Ivan Reis. Reyes. You know, shoot me for getting it wrong. What can I say? I'm British. This isn't great. Heather, what were your thoughts?
Well, one thing is, I agree that the art, the colors were stunning. It was it's a really beautiful book. But it was kind of all over the place. And one of the biggest issues for me is you can't start with this number one. Shoot me in the face, whatever you want to do about this. I have not finished Man of Steel. I am literally two issues behind. And yes, it gives you a really good like follow up of like what happened, but I feel like I literally missed out on something huge. Mm-hmm. when I hit that, like the second page, because the first page, of course, is like the background of what happened during Man of Steel. But this to me didn't feel like a number one that any random fan can pick up off the shelf. Mm-hmm. And that kind of got me a little bit. Once I passed that, it seemed disconjointed. There was the whole, wow, I am so out of it. Fortress of Solitude. I was going to say League of Solitude. I don't know.
Yeah, check it.
Fortress of Solitude.
It's a good way to podcast. Don't worry.
It's fine. It's fine. I'll get there. It's okay. It's fine. The Fortress of Solitude, and then we switched right into him being on the day job, and then he's just having a casual conversation with Manhunter, and you're like, wait, okay. And then the next thing you know, he's literally in outer space going, what's a Phantom Zone doing here? Yeah. And you're like, wait, can we pause for a second and give us a little bit more of a timeline?
Definitely. A good shout. Colors. It's the colorist. Extraordinaire Alex Sinclair, that's on covers. So, you know, Sinclair's been around for ages. He's done a shed load of work for some of the big guys. So it's good to see, you know, that recognition of his work coming out, definitely. Tracy, what are your thoughts on the Big Blue Boy Scout?
The Big Blue Boy Scout, that's an interesting topic of conversation. I enjoyed the artwork like everybody else. I loved that the internal cover was the black and white contrast to the color copy on the cover, which I always enjoy having that to look at. The script itself wasn't fantastic. You know, there wasn't a lot of conversation that you would assume to hear from, especially Martian Manhunter. You know what I mean? He's not a soft, soppy guy. You know, the whole "I understand, dude," that's not gonna happen. So I wasn't impressed with that. And then again, this cliffhanger felt to me like they couldn't think of anything original. I went, okay, let's put them in the phone.
Well, we can't talk about...
One is not impressed.
We cannot talk about, I guess. Heather, so do you know how Man of Steel ends?
I do now.
All right. Okay. this is like, boom, the Phantom Zone makes its reappearance. Like, the week after it's being used as a get-out clause. So you're kind of thinking, enough's enough, right, Tracy?
Yes.
Cool.
You know what I'm like?
Yeah.
It's just like, seriously, lads, just be original, funds. give us something that we're not expecting. You know, put a little smile on our faces instead of a win and a meh.
Oh, a meh. Oh,
and yeah. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
I didn't realize it was going to come so soon.
Okay. No, story of your life.
Sorry. All right, so I've got to be honest. I was a little bit disappointed with Bendis. If we're going to get to alone and mourning about being alone, why the hell did we get rid of the new 52 Superman? what was the point? You know? I just don't understand it. It's like DC have kind of moved towards doing something really cool and change-worthy, like Lois and Clark are together, you know, Bat and Cat, and all that, and then they just stop, and then they just to like press the reset button. And I get the comic books aren't meant for the longevity, the idea that readership changes so often and so on. But I think it's about time the publishers realise there's new readers aren't coming into the industry. It's just older readers that are still buying the books and stuff. The book had some nice moments, Clark's reflections on what he's lost. I think anybody who's ever had a relationship go south has those moments, so there's a nice element of that. Not sure I like Superman just taking on the Dominators just because they're there. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm not going to ask the question, I'm just going to attack him. I don't know, how Superman fly in space? Surely there's got to be red sun radiation out there somewhere, right? I'm just saying, putting out there. But I kind of agree that the book is a little bit, I think, a little bit disjointed. I don't mind Jean, but then Jean to turn up and say things like, you can take over the world. Really? Is that the Jean Jones that we know, the peacemaker? You know, it just seems quite an aggressive stance for him to take.
No. Well, because he's in the Phantom Zone, it might not even be Jean. Oh, no.
Nothing so original would happen.
Yep.
Oh, Tracy's in a sick mood. Hello.
I hope it's his brother. That's what I hope. Anyway, continue. Sorry, Johnny.
Right, that's a good shout. I mean, there's white Martians kicking around somewhere, so in somewhere else. Right, okay, so Superman 1, would you get it? Would you not get it? Are we just going to let it be meh?
Let it be meh.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a chance until issue 2 before I tell anyone to buy it or not.
Okay. Heather?
I'm in that same boat. I always say 3 issues. Give someone a good shot at an arc before you can say no.
Well, you could argue this is actually issue 7.
That's also very true.
All right. okay, so make your own mind up on Superman. And next up is we have Sideways.
Whoa!
I need to, you know, keep.
Remember where you are, Johnny.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame DC. If they're going to put out a Spider-Man book called Sideways and a Fantastic Four book called Mr. Terrific and a Hulk book called The Damage, I'm sure people are going to get confused.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just me, right?
Not just you, honey.
Not just me. Freya, tell us about Sideways.
Okay, so Sideways. I don't know why DC can't keep their superheroes, you know, super secret identity secret anymore. Everyone knows everyone's super identity, and I don't see the point in wearing a mask anymore if everyone freaking knows who they are already, because everyone knows who he is, and it's only issue 6, and it frustrates me. Keep him secret at least until issue, like, I don't know, 16. Come on.
A whole year in a bit without telling us who he is.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, it's stupid. I am happy, though, that Tempest did become his, like, mentor-y type person. So I'm really happy about that. I do like Tempest. And so, I don't know, there's things I really like about the book. The artwork is hit and miss with me. Some panels look better than others. Some of them, they don't have faces in some, even though it's just directly them, especially on page 4 with his parents. They don't have eyes. They have like the sketch that they were going to have eyes, but they don't have eyes, which just bothers me, and it feels lazy. And then the next page, on page 5, he has a nice face. So, I mean, they know how to do faces. It just feels like they're being lazy on it. So, Other than that, artwork doesn't really, it's just kind of, as Tracy would say, it's kind of meh. And I like the story where it's going. I was really hoping he'd be the one superhero whose parents didn't die. Because,
Hashtag, bet you didn't know that.
There you go. We know the end of Superman, Man of Steel. We know someone dies. Great.
Oh. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to feel for this woman because it's only issue 6. She's his mother. I know we're supposed to be like upset that she died, but at this point, I just assume if you're a parent of a superhero, you're going to die. So I don't care about the character from the get-go.
I'm not saying that that's reminiscent of, you know, Uncle Ben buying it at all, but I'm just saying.
Ben is fantastic. Yeah, and this issue is just him avoiding his mom and being a teenager, and the whole... Yeah, he's Spider-Man because, you know, he was gone, he was being a little punk, and his parents died because he was being a little brat, so...
Just for the record.
Likewise, it's all your fault.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just, it's a character development book, but it seems late. And also early for everyone knowing who he is, so.
Cool. Heather, did you check out Storyteller? Sideways? From?
Wow. I don't know. What are you looking at? I kind of am on the same boat. Sideways, it's... But from the get-go, I do agree 100%. There are definitely some pages where I'm like, did Dan Didio just go, oh, here are some unused Spider-Man pages that someone just left out at Marvel. I'm going to steal them away and just use the same dialogue, but give them like a different character. Like it's Spider-Man. This was definitely super Spider-Man-y. But I agree. It's DC Comics. Just leave the mothers alone. God damn it. We can have one mom that's still alive somewhere. I'm sure we can do it. We don't need, not every superhero needs a tragic parent ending to become the superhero they were meant to be. And this is just another example of, I mean, Sideways seems like he could have grown up on his own without this dramatic parental ending. And though I can see that with this new mentorship that he has realized that who's the, I always forget who it is. Tempest. There we go. Sorry. I know that Fred just said it, but still, Tempest, that relationship the book doesn't excite me, but I'm very interested to see what their relationship would turn into, especially if you can open up Sideways' powers and his abilities to literally start just jumping through time and space.
All right, excellent. So kind of on the fence, but still seeing how it goes, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. I had a quick look through this book, and I think the art reminds me a lot like Dennis Cowan. You know, some of that kind of milestone type stuff from a few years back. It kind of has that sort of that feel about it. It looks like the guy that created it, Kenneth Rockford, some of his work that he'd used to do on Teen Titans as well. So I don't know if they're kind of like using his sort of stuff as kind of like a template for that.
It doesn't seem to be a unique style in the artwork in this series so far, I found, when I was reading it. Like, it's just, there's not a single standout. It's all very background muted artwork.
But to be fair, if I want to read Spider-Man, I just pick up Spider-Man, so that's fine. All right, that's
true.
Moving on from one new age of hero to one of the classics, I guess, we have... Wonder Woman! Fighting for her rights in her satin fishnets.
Yes. Wonder Woman. and they never lather, because they always work.
That's how it works. It's real.
Yeah.
All right, Tracy, take it away. Wonder Woman 50.
Wonder Woman 50 is a lovely, beautifully drawn book. The inside cover is just this really stunning image of Wonder Woman with this billowing dark cloak. And that just drags you in to want to read the story straight off. You know, she's saying goodbye to Steve again because he's off on his adventure. And he's like, I don't want to leave you in this time because, you know, we're going to see how she actually defeated her brother. Poor Jason sacrificed himself for the greater good, being the hero he wanted to be. I really enjoyed it. But again, I'm, you know, preferential treatment there because I just love everything that she does. But I really, really enjoyed the dialogue was really good. There's just little quirky bits in it where she's, you know, being sarcastic to Steve, I like, you know, where she's hinting that she would, you know, she's not like every other woman, but then again, she would like ice cream and sitting down and watching Netflix, you know. I loved it.
Okay. Cool. Well, I have loved, well, I wouldn't say loved, I've really liked James Robinson's run on this book.
Yeah.
I think following Greg Rucka was always going to be a hard sell for anybody. But I think Robinson's added a level of stability to the book because it was kind of lacking somewhere down the line. So I really like that. You said the art was great. Could you tell me which one of the four artists that are on this book were the great ones, please?
All of them.
And that includes two different inkers.
All of them.
So
it's definitely you can see it's definitely a group collaboration.
I just want to know who's responsible for page five. Because go and check out page five. And I know that anatomy takes a bit of a
practice
sideways step, no pun intended, when it comes to comic books, right? But there's only Madonna circa 1992 can get away with wearing having boobs that pointy.
Pointy, yeah. You know, and in that position that she's lying, she's like at that angle.
It's like it's hurt my eyes. It was just this book art wise has kind of gone through fluctuations. I wish they'd just pick a style and stick with it.
I think the thing is though is they're still trying to flesh out what works well with the storyline. I think they wanted to be something a little bit more edgy because of the Dark Gods, and now that that is over. As far as we know, you know, they should be going back to a more continuous continuity.
Yeah. Well, I hope so, because I don't know how anyone else feels, but I'm kind of getting a little bit bored with these great events. The Earth is always on the brink of disaster. It's only, I suppose, with the exception of maybe Batman and Aquaman, every other book, it seems, has the Justice League in somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... There can't be that many world crises happening or crises.
But then, are you going to pick up a book where Wonder Woman goes shopping and gets her weekly shop buys herself a new bra and then goes to cinema?
One
that's, you know,
so pointy would be great. But
that's why I put that in there.
Thank you. Fed me the line. Yeah, I would. That's what Birds of Prey used to be under Gail Simone. You have those books where they go and chill out and do something normal. I want to see normal for a bit.
I do agree. Gail Simone used to do great panels like that, but I don't think the readership now, the kind of newer generation, would be as willing to have an issue about something that's not bam, 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 you know?
I put it out to the vote, but I know that Freya hates Wonder Woman, so her vote won't count one way or the other.
No, you have to count Freya.
Freya, what do you think? Do you think Wonder Woman needs to take a step back from saving the world and just kind of be her own person for a little bit?
Go to Walmart.
So, to be perfectly honest, yes, because, I talked to a lot of people about the Wonder Woman movie because I actually quite enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, I know. Blasphemy. Just listen to that pod. Just listen to the pod. I did enjoy it a lot. But yeah, the parts that they liked besides the fight scenes were just her being kind of ridiculous and like, oh, this ice cream and, you know, stuff like that. And, oh, it's a baby and things like that. Everyone loved those parts. And so I think there's going to be some people that just want the fighting all the time. But there is that demographic who would love to see her, you know, kind of out of her element or just out and about shopping and being, you know, normal. Yeah.
Do you think she could babysit, like, Superboy and stuff? You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, Clark could come up and be like, hey, not now, but in the past, we could go backwards in time.
Babysit Damien and...
Damien.
And John have their little play date.
Oh, my God.
I'd actually play that.
I would think that would be funny.
This has gone wonky all of a sudden. Wonder Woman, what are your thoughts? Do you think there's just too much world saving going on? Does it need to be a step back, or does it just keep it as is?
Like, yeah, she needs to have some time to be herself. It's, yeah. I mean, you saw it in like Superman Wonder Woman. I hated that relationship, but when her and Clark went on a date, she got to be herself, and it was a completely different side. And we need to see that every once in a while.
I actually loved that book. The only problem with that book is it got caught in so many different tie-ins. I was like, oh, but no, I like the idea, but hey ho, what can I say?
Right. Just an old romantic, Johnny.
I am. What can I say? Bottle of wine, a pack of fishnets, and that's it. I mean, once.
That's right, it, you're okay. Done.
Right. Whew, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
Yeah.
This is a unique book, to say the least. Heather, take us through the apocalypse that is Scooby-Doo, please.
Well, there's no apocalypse that is Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo and his team created an apocalypse. There's difference. Oh my goodness. Well, I guess well, technically Dr. Dinkley did that. It's all her fault. But right now so Fred Jones died recently. I'm sure that y'all heard, and then all of a sudden this book started getting a lot of hype again. I mean, this isn't a young book. The Hanna-Barbera line has been going on for forever now. And sorry, hold on one second. I apologize. My computer just went out. So this is issue number 27, and the apocalypse, the monster apocalypse, has been going on a little while. And when Fred Jones died, it was DC got this really weird resurgence of fans. And what we're now seeing is the aftermath of that. It's they're kind of trying to build their lives back up after the loss of a close personal friend. They've created a community, a safe place for themselves. And so you've got the entire Mystery Inc. Well, you've got most of the Mystery Inc. Living their lives. And then you have Daphne being the sole survivor who's disappointed with herself and her life, you know, killing monsters to the side, mm-hmm. kind of in one of those self-hate circles where all she wants to do is wait for that, you know, kill monsters until she finally finds that one that kills her, which is super disappointing and sad. And then you have Scrappy-Doo is back. We thought he killed himself, sacrificed himself for the team back in issue 18, I think, 17 or 18. This book had Scooby Apocalypse had a lull in the mid-teens, and even I am a huge Scooby fan. I love Scooby-Doo. Even I was like, oh, I'm gonna potentially just give it up. And since about issue 17, it's just as good as it always is. I really loved it. I'm so happy that Scrappy's back, because that's the whole dynamic that we can really see the Scooby Scrappy relationship finally get ahead of itself. So, and the art is just fun. I just love the art. Then the secret squirrel finds out he's a squirrel, but then he realizes that he's not a squirrel, and it's just life is just great. I love the secret squirrel mini at the end. Read Scooby Apocalypse if you aren't. Read all the Hanna-Barbera lines if you aren't, because they are so good. They're just so good. DC has, the best stuff DC is putting out is in the Hanna-Barbera books.
Okay,
personally.
And there's some silence. Hey, I'm all about Snagglepuss, so I understand where you're going with this.
Snagglepuss is so good.
Me? I'm not alone.
So good.
And I looked into the Apocalypse book as we do. I actually found it very interesting to see how poor Scrappy-Doo is so emotionally damaged. He's so angry. He's so antsy. He's given out to everybody. And everybody's just happy to see him. It was just like, aw. And then I loved the last panel. And he's like, Scooby just sits beside him. He just looks at him. And he's like, yeah, I missed you too. And that was the entire comic. Basically, that was the entire comic. I thought it was fun. It's definitely a different take on what you expect. Definitely with Daphne's, I'm going to kill everybody, even if they're not, you know, if they're not really zombie apocalypse monsters, but I know they are. It's like, oh, we don't need that. And then the squirrel, you know, it's silly, it's funny. His jacket and mask are awesome. So, you know, I'm all for it.
I find it ironic that Daphne's going all Buffy when it was Sarah Michelle Gellar that played her in the movies. So.
Did we lose Johnny?
Sorry?
No. Are we here, everybody?
I'm here. Where's Johnny?
I found it ironic that Daphne's going all kind of murderess when very much like Buffy used to do when she lost a couple of friends and colleagues down the line. So I find it ironic that it's Michelle Gellar that played Daphne. It's just one of those odd things.
Maybe they were using that as parody, you know?
They actually did say that the apocalypse is supposed to be specifically based off of the more adult characters and themes from the first Scooby-Doo film, not the second one. So I'm not a nerd. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you haven't read it, and you should, you need to. There are 3 volumes out. It's amazing. But like it's issue 18 that the book talks about where Scrappy gives up like his personal being to protect the other team. And in that, Daphne goes through an entire tirade where she's like, we have to kill who we have to kill to make sure that, you know, we can save the millions of people. It's like Daphne's just on this thing where she just thinks that death is okay and it's weird.
Okay, so. Cool. Excellent. Just tell me Scooby-Doo still talks funny, right?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, good. That's one of that. They can do what they like as long as he's still saying ropes and all the usual things.
Yeah.
He needs lots of sandwiches.
Okay.
One of the best panels in the entire book is the final panel between Shaggy and Scooby, because Shaggy like saves Scooby's life, and Shaggy's like, oh my goodness, thank goodness, and Scooby just goes, I love you, and you just see Shaggy go, wait, you can talk? It's great.
You know what, I'm going to have to check it out. I've kind of been on the back burner with the Hanna-Barbera books, only kind of checking out odd ones here and there, but I will listen to my peers and I will go and check that out. Excellent. Thank you very much. Right. Next up is another celebratory issue. It's The Flash. 50 episodes or issues of The Flash. Who wants to kick this one off?
Why are there so many of them and why is it so confusing?
All right, so let's go with Tracy first.
That's my real thing. It's like, you know, oh, Barry, yeah, Wally, who, you know, it's just, there's, and oh, I just, like, just thought it was just so much, it was too much. It was too much. And then it's like, oh, we can't do this, we can't go, we're after breaking the space time continuum, so we can no longer go and, you know, run in space and to make time go backwards. I just don't like the storyline. I just didn't enjoy it.
Okay, before we jump to Freya, let me ask you a quick question then. On one hand, you're dissing Superman for pulling out the Phantom Zone because nothing ever changes. So in Flash, Josh Williamson has taken away the ability to time travel, which is a massive change for the Flashes. And yet you're pillaring him for the making.
I was like, who cares? Who cares? if they stop being so stupid and being like, right, we're all just Flashes running around being super fast and stopping, you know, the bad Flashes. Because, again, there's too many of them to mention. And, you know, oh, we're really sorry that you can't go back to the 25th dimension of next year. I'm just, oh, it just annoys me.
Right, okay.
So it really does.
So Tracy's not a Flash fan. Right, excellent. Freya.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm still here.
Good.
I'm just very quiet because, okay, at work, Flash books, I have a love-hate relationship. I like elements of it, and I absolutely despise elements of it. Coloration's good. I always enjoy the lightning. That's about it.
Yes, woman, yes.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think, Colors by Hi-Fi, which is one of the colorists who worked on some of the metal stuff, you know, the one-shots back in the day. So
Yeah, well, those are all good, the coloration, and I just love the colors. So this story was wordy a lot. I felt like they were trying to cram absolutely everything in one book. So it just felt like a lot of expositional vomit constantly. So Wally, to run faster, just needs a pep talk from Barry. And also magically, he's like, oh, I can run faster, even though I just said 2 seconds ago that I'm pushing myself to the limit. Nope. Barry just needs to go, you can do it. It
like a cheerleader.
Yeah. You know, like, okay. Oh. Also, how many freaking forces are there? There's like the speed force, the strength force, the sage force, the still force. It's like the power rings now, and they're just chucking them out and giving them to everyone for free. There's too many. And it kind of cheapens the Speed Force, in my opinion, to have all these different forces out there. That's just me. It felt like too much. It would have been better if they had simplified it a little bit with some things, and then they could have kept all the different forces. Yeah, it was too much. I had to keep rereading it because everything was just so wordy all the time, and it felt like if it was in like a novel form with absolutely no artwork, I would have been able to keep up with what the hell's going on. But because of the panel, it's too much. But other than that, I'm actually happy that they can't travel back in time, because that was way overused in the Flash books. I was really done with them. Because you think learning one time that time travel is bad would be enough, but they just have to constantly screw it up somehow. So I'm happy. Yep.
That's because they watch Doctor Who and they think if the Doctor can do it, you know, they can do it, right?
Yeah, well, the Doctor is different, okay? He had rules. He followed those rules. Doctors of She.
Yeah, at the moment, yeah.
David Tennant will always be my doctor. But anyway, I liked how they got rid of the time travel. Can we talk about the little punk at the end of the book, or... Okay, I am not looking forward to Bart Allen. I don't want it. I don't want Bart
What's
Allen.
What's the point in it? What is the point?
I don't want him. I don't want him. The show. And then the little epilogue at the end, it's like you can't have two cliffhangers, one right after the other. That's not how this works. You choose one. And you stick with it, and then you can have the other cliffhanger at the beginning of the next book. You can't have two in a row. It just cheapens them, and it doesn't. Yeah. So overall, simplify things. It would have been better, and don't cheapen the ending, and don't do Bart, please. Don't do Bart.
there's going to be a line now, isn't it? Don't do Bart.
Yeah. Hashtag don't do Bart.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Drugs, fine. Bart, no. Okay. Heather, what is your take on The Flash?
Well, first thing, Tom Baker is always going to be the best doctor. I disagree with Freya a little bit. So,
Tom Baker and K-9 and Leela.
Okay. I actually have a K-9 on my desk who I play with at work every single day. Anyway, sorry. The issue itself, I agree with both Tracy and Freya. There were entire panels where I had to look at them two or three times. So I was like, wait, which Flash is fighting right now? Like, it was just lots of red on a panel, and you're like, wait, let me look at the, and it seemed like sometimes the text bubbles weren't in the right place, and it made for just a lot on one page. And it's really hard for me to say anything bad about Joshua Williamson's artwork. Wow, he's not the artist, he is the writer. I love him. I've loved almost everything he's done since Nailbiter. But this just seemed like they probably could have I know that art is hard and art takes time, but if they had just slowed it down a little bit, in with no puns intended at all, and gave it like two or so extra pages just so that we could really experience what we're supposed to be seeing, I would have appreciated it more. There was just so much red everywhere, and it kind of made it hard to follow.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got to say, I'm not a big Flash comic book fan. And when I picked this up and I went through it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to talk about this book. I have no idea what's going on. Good to see I'm not the only person. And these are people who are reading the book, so there you go. You could argue that, I suppose, Williamson and Porter have been doing as good a job on The Flash as Tom King and his plethora of artists have been doing on Batman. I suppose the pairing have been together for this length of time. Williamson is the Flash writer, I guess. But the problem with this book, for me, is kind of something you alluded to with all the different Flashes and stuff. This book probably has more crossover going on than any other book. If you think, you've got Barry Allen Flash is in this, and he's in the Justice League. So therefore, because the Justice League are in every book, he's also in every book. You've got Wally West Flash is in Titans, and then even Kid Flash, Wallace West, is in Teen Titans. So these characters just need to, as you've mentioned, Heather, it's no pun, but the whole pacing just needs to slow down. This book is just a one big race, and I get that it's speed, and that's the idea of it all, but surely there's more you can do with speed than just run? Is there?
Yes.
Well, there's no evidence of it in this book. The Bart Allen thing, I can take him or leave him. It's gonna, if it gives us a new Young Justice book down the line, that's great. For that to happen, we're gonna have to get a Cassandra Sandstorm. Is it Sandstorm? Sandsmark back. But how many times can we have like one Wonder Woman, two Wonder Girls again? It's just bonkers. I like the fact that the book's moved away a lot from the whole Dr. Manhattan, Wally being stuck facing him for a while whilst he was missing. It's only now in this book it's kind of again hinted at that he's faced something worse. Because I thought that would have got old quick, especially as they've done nothing with it, unless you count the current Doomsday Clock, which again hasn't seen any sort of mix to that. I'm with you, Freya, on the art. Some of it I like, some of it I hate. It's too cartoony for me, I guess, is my own personal choice. But that's kind of it, really, on that one, I'm afraid. So it is a bit of a meh for me. So, but Flash fans, I'm sure if you've been digging the whole series and digging this kind of race element that's been going on in the last few, I'm sure you'll enjoy the ending. Go for it.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you, and I don't mean to.
It's fine.
I'm sorry. I have a question, because you love Jessica, and I love Jessica, but you seem to like her more. So, with Barry, is her and Barry a thing still, or is no Iris in him? Because I am so confused. It's like mental gymnastics to try to figure out who is still with who and what the hell's going on.
I don't think I've seen anything remotely since the kids from the future came back. I don't think there's been anything that's been alluded to the whole Barry Jessica thing that I've seen. Last I kind of got the impression was that I think Simon and Jess are kind of getting to a point where they're realizing stuff about themselves.
Okay.
But that's my personal perception of it. But
okay. So Barry and Jess saw their kids and went, nope. And so they just said,
trust me, if I'd seen my kid beforehand, I'd have said no as well.
Oh, that's me.
No amount of fishness on that one. Right, okay, right. So, no, good question, though. It is a good question. It's one of those things that the DC kind of put out there and then forget about. So maybe we should get back to some of that. The fact that Jessica's been, over the last month, 6 weeks, she's been on the run from the Green Lantern car, and now she's getting all sorts of shenanigans going on with the power battery and stuff. She doesn't spend hardly enough time on Earth. And of course, Odyssey's going to send her across the universe with the Justice League, so you tell me. All right, okay, cool. Last book. Hawkman, number two. Or as I like to call it, Indiana Hawk.
Indiana Hawk. Yes!
Let's see. So, Dr. Hall returns to jolly old England. You can tell it's England because we're talking about going for a drink and it's a pint. Total stereotype. We do drink other things. To look up some...
Well, it's pints of things, isn't it?
What was that?
I said you drink different pints, that's types,
right,
of pints.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Pints of Southern comfort. Anyway. he looks up some Egyptian relics, which he looks to try and examine to reconnect and give him a clue. Odd, considering it's actually his relic. If you go, there's some time travel that explains it. You've got to know your Hawkman to kind of enjoy the book. It's written by Robert Venditti, with art by Brian Hitch, who at last has found a nest to call his own with this. I think the art works really well. Although I will say that... it looks like he's modelled his Carter Hall on John Byrne's Indiana Jones from the further Indiana Jones comics from back in the early 80s. The book, it's kind of hokey. It's kind of old-school adventure. There are plot holes the size of The Dark Knight Rises in there. But it's just because it's old-school fun, I don't mind it. So I'm really enjoying this book. Tracy, your thoughts?
Again, you have to really be into it to know it. I think that was the thing. If you haven't read previously, you're going to be completely lost. And I liked the dialogue.
Yeah.
And the whole thing that they were like, oh, let's go for a pint. And I'm like, yeah, that's what he'd do. And that's probably about as much as I liked.
Okay.
Sorry. No. I know, I feel very negative towards books today. But it's not normally that way. But it's just this week was a bit meh.
I think one of those weeks is, if we were honest, and let's be honest, we'll touch on this subject because we have some time. After all the hoopla from last week, do you find that going back to your normal, I'm using the whole quotation mark things, this is open to everyone.
Yeah.
Do you think going back to your normal run-of-the-mill books has left you kind of, not drained, but kind of a little bit sour taste in your mouth a little bit?
Sour tasting, yeah. I think because the biggins left such a sour taste, it's flowing over to others.
Mm. Okay. Heather, what do you think? Because you have a different perspective to everybody else. You have a different...
There was a cute cat video. I'm sorry. Can you repeat?
Oh, my gosh. Right. So I've got a woman saying I drink pints of Southern Comfort. I've got one in Europe all the time and one looking at YouTube for a cat... Oh, 13th, come back, please save me, please. Where's MPP when I need it? Okay, right. I was saying after the hoopla of last week with the
whole... We love you, really.
I love you all.
We do love you, Johnny. It's okay.
So after the hoopla of the whole bat and the cat thing and the Man of Steel number 6 hitting and all that sort of stuff, do you find that coming back to your regular hall of books has kind of left... The sourness from last week has kind of carried over a little bit, and you feel just a little bit deflated a little bit, maybe. Tracy says her sour taste has continued over. I was saying you have a different perspective of things, so how do you feel about that? Is that
I kind of feel the same. I think Tracy said, sorry, there was a cat eating cherries. I apologize. I distract. All I heard was Tracy say that she was a little bit soured by it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree in it. And you can kind of see it in the marketplace. It's you had people that really, really, really just love the shit out of Rebirth. They just love it. And over these past couple of weeks with all of the events, with the disappointment, with the disappointment of how it was handled for the Bat-Cat wedding, the market seems just a little bit deflated. Not just, you know, walking in and buying my own, but it's the entire market just... It just seems like they just don't want to even talk about it. Mm. Talk about, like, comics Twitter just, they've gone, like, in a different direction almost entirely. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I totally get your point. It was the spoiler element. I don't mind the Bat-Cat I don't mind if they do. I don't mind if they don't. I don't mind. It's we get the books early so we can review it for Comic Crusaders and talk about them on the podcast and review them on Geekery. And yet, we didn't amongst ourselves, we didn't discuss the book at all until we podded about it. So if we can keep the secret, you know, DC thinking they're going to pull the wool out of the spoilers. If you don't want sites to spoil stuff, don't give them the books. Freya, what was your take on the whole thing? I know you were on the pod last week. So do you feel that the regular comic books have suffered because of the backlash? Or at least the perception of them have suffered?
So I'm going to actually say opposite. I don't think they've really suffered all that much. I mean, at least not with these weeks, because I really like Hawkman. But like at this point, I feel like I'm sick of the Cat-Bat thing. I love Selina and you know, their whole relationship. I love all of Batman's relationships, to be 100% honest. He's like my playboy. I love him. You know, if he was real, I would totally be chasing after him. But, you know, it's...
Even over Aquaman?
Yeah, I would
yeah, absolutely.
So,
oh, my God. It's like Love Island. Oh.
It's okay, Johnny. We'll talk about some of the Birds of Prey later.
Yes.
Right,
carry on.
Chase after Canary. Would that work for you? I love Canary. Anyway.
Right, okay.
Anyway, so I'm just done with the Bat-Cat thing, and so I've checked out mentally, I guess, with that whole thing. So reading anything that's not about Batman and Catwoman is like a breath of fresh air, and I absolutely adore it.
Oh, excellent. That's a great point.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Good call.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Okay, so that wraps up this week's episode of the Definitive Crusade. I'll say that again just because I got it wrong the first time. The Definitive Crusade. Thank you very much to Freya. Thanks, Freya. Heather and Tracy. Thanks, guys.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Just check. Thank you. Silence. Hopefully for the next show, your regular host will return and all these crazy shenanigans will be his problem, not mine. I mean, all this great show will be on him and stuff. Don't forget to check out UCPM for all the other shows we do, including No Prize Podcast, Outside the Panels, Flipside Focus, and Side Scrollers. If I've missed any one of them, I'll tell you what, check out the network. Tell me I'm wrong. All right? This is Machine saying goodbye. Adios.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.